And I've been just talking about some things with our staff the beginning of this year. We kind of laid out two goals, two staff goals. You ready? Just want to throw out what we've been talking about. Maybe it'll resonate a little bit. The first is that we've had a real revolution of numbers of volunteers getting involved. And so the first goal was just let everybody know we're just going to continue that revolution. Because how many of you know we can't pay a staff member to do everything in the church? And as the church just continues to grow and explode, there has to continue to be an explosion of new people that serve, right? I remember Bill Hybels talking about, they were looking at their staff, budget and the finances that they paid all their human resources, and they had this kind of defining moment. He said, if we continue along this path, we won't be able to build another building because we're paying so many people to do the work of the ministry. And I just think it's awesome. It's awesome for you guys to realize that you have a blessed opportunity to serve in God's house in this way. And so the greatest thing that you can do for the church to move forward is to raise up people that can, kind of do the things you're doing, but do it from a volunteer perspective. Everybody tracking with me on that? It's really important, and it's real easy to get lazy and say, we just need to hire somebody to do this. And it just gets out of control when you just hire and hire and hire, right? And I know maybe that's not your decision to make and all those kind of things, but I'm just saying your decision can be, I'm going to make sure that I bless the church by really getting good at recruiting new people to volunteer and to serve in church, not just on the weekends, but throughout the week. I mean, there are people that can come up on Thursday afternoons and do things for you around the office, and and they would get a kick out of that. They would love to do that. So that was our first goal, just a thought. The second thing is I realized because our church had grown so much and our staff had grown so much, and some things happened at the end of the year last year that some difficult things happened on our staff, just a couple things, and they all worked out. But in the midst of those situations, I started to realize, there's some people here that don't fully understand some of the intangibles of our culture. I'm talking about staff. There were some staff that really didn't. I was in some difficult, ironing out some situations, and a couple of things were said, a couple things happened, some things were handled this way, and I was like, wow. It clued me in on the fact that maybe I hadn't done as good a job as I needed to on intentionally and purposefully transferring and transmitting the culture of the staff to all the new people coming in. Everybody understand what I mean? And so we just said two goals this year as a staff for the whole 2008. Volunteer revelation continues. And number two, we're all going to remember. We're going to remember. And we're going to reinforce our culture as a staff. We're going to remember and we're going to respect and we're going to reinforce our staff culture. And so we started down this path at the beginning of the year of just... I'm just rehearsing with everybody what our culture is as a staff. And a couple of verses I want you to check out, and then we'll talk and define culture, and I'll just go down. I'll just kind of be a little random today of some of the things that we've been talking about because I think it might strike a chord with you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. It's a great passage. Paul writes to Timothy. How many of you know Timothy was a pastor of a church? Paul started the church in Ephesus. Timothy became the pastor of that church in Ephesus. And so here's what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 from the NIV. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Does anybody see that? So I want you to notice this word, keep as the pattern. Everybody say pattern. So what Paul's talking about here is a rhythm, a pattern, a culture of how we do things. And Paul's saying, now Timothy, I know you're leading now. I know you're out front now. But you need to remember what we talked about. And you need to remember, Timothy, what you saw me do and how I handled that person and how I handled that situation. And how we operate, you need to keep that pattern. Don't change it because that's the pattern. Here's what Paul's saying. That's the pattern I established and you now need to keep it because it's the pattern, it's the culture. Everybody see that? So he said, you keep it. Everybody say, keep it. And then he said, you guard it. So you keep it going, meaning you're not going to change it. You're going to keep that culture and that pattern of the way we do things moving forward. But not only are you going to keep it, you're going to guard it. Guard it. And you don't guard it in the flesh. You guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody see that? So you don't guard it by getting confrontational and, you know what I'm talking about? You don't guard it with your own personality. You guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. But you do need to guard it. And so there's a culture here at Celebration Church. You got an incredible, and I think you're coming up on 10 years, right? Or, so 10 years, the foundation's been laid really, really in an incredible way for just major explosion. It's already a major explosion, but major, major explosion. Well, see, you guys came along after the foundation has been laid. So it's not for you to change anything, the culture I'm talking about. There's some changes that you'll be required to make as leaders, but you've got to keep that pattern going, moving forward. You got to understand it, you got to keep it, and you got to guard it. It's the culture of the church. And we could all, say it's a good culture. It's working. Couldn't we? The fruit of all the things that you've talked about, it's a result of incredible and exceptional leadership by Pastor Stovall and Carrie and their heart. And they've established a culture of way of doing things. It's not necessarily a wrong or right thing. It's just that way. It's just their way. It's the way that things function. It's kind of the rhythm and the pattern and the culture. And so you keep it, you guard it. It's another pretty amazing verse. You can just write this one down. I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. Listen to the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. What an amazing verse. So now you're builders on the foundation that's been laid. So how many of you know? You need to be careful. You've got to be careful. We're building God's house. The foundation's been laid, but we need to be careful guarding and keeping the culture. Now, here's what culture means. Are you ready? Culture, I'm going to give you a lot of different words here, but there's one phrase I want you to make sure you get. Culture is simply patterns and behaviors that are considered as the expression of a particular community. So a culture, patterns and behaviors considered as the expression of a particular community. Now listen to this phrase. This is the one I want you to get. The predominating attitudes and behavior that characterize the functioning of a group or organization. The predominating attitudes and behavior that characterize the functioning of a group or organization. The predominating attitudes and behavior that characterize the functioning of a group or organization. Shall I read it one more time? Everybody get it? One more time. The predominating attitudes and behavior that characterize the functioning of a group or organization. And if you've ever traveled overseas, you've probably found yourself in a situation where you did something that was a little taboo where the culture is concerned. I'll never forget Chad Daniel tell this hilarious story. He's preaching in India. He's preaching at this church in India, didn't know that this was like the wrong thing to do, but he's talking about standing on God's word. Well, in India, the Bible, the actual book, you don't mistreat even a book. The book, the Bible, it's precious as the word of God, but they just like, they carry their Bibles a certain way. So Chad's talking about standing on the word of God. And so he throws his Bible on the ground and stands on top of it. Great illustration in youth group, in the USA, but not in India, and huge church. And he said he noticed kind of just the vacuum, like everybody's breath went out. And so a year later, he's driving down the road. This is hilarious. A year later, he's driving down the road. They pass that church, and he tells the guy that's with him, he says, "Hey, why aren't we preaching in that church again?" And that guy said, "Oh, Brother Chad, you'll never preach in that church again." You know, it's just a cultural thing, you know. We lived in Kenya for 3 years. And, you know, in Kenya, you never, when you call somebody, you never do this. It's just very disrespectful, has a sexual connotation. There's just some, you know, so when they call somebody, they do it like this. Just a cultural thing. You'd never know that. I'm sure a couple times in church I said, hey, come over here. And everybody's like. And so, you know, there are some things, you know, culture, in other words, is it transcends really theology or even your, you know, I'm sure you have a set of values as a church. And, you know, it transcends those things. It's attitudes that are inside the organization. And, of course, there can be unhealthy culture that we try to flush out and get rid of. But I'm talking about the good, strong, healthy, predominating attitudes that sometimes, you know, no one's going to teach you. You've got to just figure out. And you'll realize, wow, that's not the thing to do around here. That's not going to work around here. You know, everybody tracking with me? But you know what? You've got to learn it. And then you not only need to learn it, you need to respect it. And then you, here's the big challenge in the next 10 years for Celebration Church, because you become the culture carriers that enforce and bring the culture down to the next generation of leaders that are coming up. Many of you have been around, you know, Pastors Stovall and Karen, so you've picked it up and you've figured it out. But you know, there's a whole new generation of leaders that may not have the same privilege of being around them and picking up on those things. So then you have to reinforce that culture. And it becomes important down to the third generation or fourth generation or fifth generation of leadership. Everybody tracking with me? And so here's what I've done with our staff is I've kind of laid out, and I just chose six things that I wanted everybody to remember about our culture. Six things that we are just extremely important to me. And I'm going to give you the six and then maybe just go a little deeper on one and then turn it back over to Pastor. But I'll just give them to you. You ready? Just to remind everybody, number one, we are unified. Unity is a huge part of our culture. And it should be a huge part of every spiritual organization's culture, but it's not. And I've been in plenty of environments where there's just, factions and just dissension, and it's just accepted. But what we've committed to is we will not accept division and strife and division. We will be unified as a staff. We will absolutely be on the same page together. Everybody tracking with me? Got it. And that's probably the one I'll go deeper on in a little bit. Another one, number two, is we're passionate. We're passionate. And, of course, it's obvious there's so much passion here. It's huge. We're going to be passionate. We're not going to be flat. You know, there's plenty of churches that are flat every single weekend, and there's plenty of staff environments that are just flat and sterile and gray. You know what I'm talking about? That's not us. We're going to be passionate. It's not a personality issue. Well, I'm just kind of laid back and quiet. Well, you need to get a little bit loud sometimes. We need to see some excitement from you sometimes. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things. It's like we're going to be passionate. And we can all be passionate. The Bible says in the book of Romans, never be lacking in zeal. So it's not a matter of personality. It's giftedness. And well, I'm just more intellectual. Well, be intellectually passionate. Everybody with me? So then we also said that, and this one's huge for me, and I just, you know, that's why I've really been pressing it with our staff. Number three, we're going to be thankful. And I have a short fuse with an entitlement mentality where people feel like they are entitled to something. It's wrong. It's a wrong spirit. You don't find that spirit in the Bible. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning because yesterday's gone and today's another day. That means you got to wake up every day and serve like you served yesterday and not say, well, I'm going to take a little season off and not serve with the same zeal and passion this season because I did it last season. No, I fasted. I did the 21 days last year. I'm going to take off this year. No, you're going to do it again this year. And you're going to be thankful that you have the opportunity to do it again this year. Just that thankful spirit. I read this quote. Vince Lombardi said, told the story about when they won their, I think they won, did they win the first three Super Bowls? I forget Green Bay just like just dominated when they first had Super Bowls. I think won like the first three. The first Super Bowl they won, Vince Lombardi bought a fur coat for every player's wife. So the whole Green Bay team won the Super Bowl. He personally bought a fur coat for every wife and got a thank you note. Listen to this. Got a thank you note back from every player's wife. The next year, won the Super Bowl again, did the same thing. Got two thank you notes back the second year. Why? Because they started to feel entitled to something that was just a pure, generous expression of just appreciation, you know? And so that can easily creep into you, into your spirit. You're entitled to that office. You're entitled to that computer. You're entitled to those vacation days. You're entitled to a couple of cool trips every year. You're not. And it can all go away like that. And really, you know, God's blessing you, you know, and the I see it in Pastor Stovall's heart. It's just overflowing with gratitude of like God's mercy. And man, we haven't done this. God's doing this and God's hand on. You all need to have that. And don't get used to 150 people getting saved every weekend. I mean, get used to it from an expectation spirit, but don't just roll in on Monday, another 150 got saved. You may just drop to your knees and thank God that again 150 people got saved. You see what I'm saying? I mean, thank God you get to work with the people you get to work with. Thank God you get to do the things you get to do. And write thank you notes. If somebody gives you something, sit down and go to Target and get a little L. You know, if your name is Lisa, get little L cards are $9.99. And it's nothing to go pick up a little pack of stationery and make sure you're popping out thank you notes to the people in your life that are making a difference. And don't just have this expectation that they owe you something and that they... Everybody tracking with me?
Yes.
It's just huge. I can't stand that mentality. And especially when God starts to bless people and things start expanding, we get a little chip. This is the way it is. And man, thank God. And I'm not talking about an arrogant kind of thank you. I'm talking about a real genuine heart of let's be thankful. Let's be thankful people. And if there's people in your life right now you're so thankful for, why don't you tell them what's stopping you? Write them a note, send them an email, pick up the phone and call them. Make sure you find them on Sunday, grab them and say, I just want to thank you. And you say, well, they serve every week like that. Well, once in a while, tell them thanks. You know what I mean? Like what should I thank somebody for doing their job? They're supposed to do their job. They're being paid. Yes. I mean, when my daughter cleans her room, she's 9, 10 years old. When I say, go clean your room, and she cleans her room, I tell her, thank you. She obeyed me. She did what she was supposed to do, but I'm still thankful that she went in there and cleaned her room. Any parents can get a witness on that, you know? Like, thank God she did it. And I'm going to show her that I appreciate her follow through and her obedience, even though she is supposed to do that. And so there's people in your life that are supposed to do those things, but you still could tell them thank you. Can you tell I'm a little soapbox on that one? All right, I'm off of it. Accountability is number four. We have a culture of accountability. People need to do their job. People need to show up on time. People, you know, all those kind of things. Another one that's huge that, and this is the one that we had to dig into really hard because of those things I told you about, a couple things that happened at the end of last year. Number five is honest. We're going to be honest. We're going to have an honest culture. So, you know, all these things happened last year, and I found out so-and-so was mad at so-and-so, and then it's because of something that happened in June. I'm like, we're in December. June. I don't even remember. What were we doing in June? What was going on in June? How could you hold something in your heart for 6 months and sit next to, in the same office environment, holding something in your heart? You're sitting right next. God, we've got to be honest, guys. Man, if you do something to tick me off, I'm going to tell you. Man, that burned me up.
That's good.
Now, I may not be right, but that's how I felt. And you can say, well, I didn't mean that and whatever. And we can work it out. We're going to work it out within 24 hours. We're not going to let it stew. We're not going to let it get down. And I'd rather people be, and you know, and the truth is I'm developing a new level of honesty in our culture, in our staff culture. Even with me, I don't want people to be pins and needles around me. And well, does he really want the truth or not? Yes, I want the truth. Does he really want to know all the facts? Yes, I want all the facts. Be honest with me, even if it offends me or hurts me. But you know, I just don't think we can build a real strong spiritual culture without some commitment to be honest with each other. And I'm not talking about, you know, you wear your feelings on your shoulder. You know, I'm not talking about like every other day you're coming in, you hurt my feelings. That's not going to work either. Right? You got to get a little tougher. We got to work, you know. But, you know, we're not going to hold things, grudges and all that stuff. It's just worthless. And the enemy will try to do that. So if we just keep things honest and open and transparent. And then number six is creative. So those are just the six things that we're pushing on here at the beginning of the year. And of course, there's probably 25 little intangible predominating attitudes in our culture. You know what I mean? Those are just the six we chose. Pastor may say, no, these are the three things I want everybody. You probably have those things and you talk about things and you know those things. But how about if we talk just, what time should we finish? It's about 10, 15 minutes? Let's just talk about unity just for a few minutes, okay? So that first one, we're unified. You know, Dino was with us the first Sunday of the year and did a big leadership thing for us, and he talked about unity. It's powerful. And he said, you know, the more you grow, the more you're going to have to really work to stick together. And it's just kind of a theme for me for the year. The more we grow, the more we're going to have to work at sticking together. Because as you've probably already figured out, not everybody on this staff is like you. Different personalities that bug you, you know, that feel different. Well, that's not the way I would do it. Well, that's the way they do it. So you have to figure out how to work together and be unified. And the more you grow, the more pressure there is to faction out into different segments. And so just, I've got four little things here. You can write them down. Unity, unified. Number one, real simple, so simple. But we can accomplish so much more when we work together. We just can. You know, David Meyer has this little thing at the bottom of all his emails. It says, together we're better. Real simple reminder, but it's just a great reminder. Together we are better. You know, I heard somebody say, if everybody was just like you, we wouldn't need anybody else but you. You'll get that later on in the afternoon. God creates a mosaic of so many different types of personalities and gift sets and perspectives. So when I'm sitting around the table, I don't want everybody to have my same viewpoint and perspective on everything. Otherwise, I don't need anybody. So we're sitting around the table. What's your perspective? Well, I agree with you, Pastor. Well, can we go a little deeper? Why do you agree with me? What reason? You know, perspective. But it's a spirit of working together, you see. And, of course, you know, just some great passages in the Bible. Genesis 11, let's check that one out. Genesis 11. We can accomplish, we're talking about unity, and we just, it's just a fact. We accomplish much more when we work together. Much, much more. The whole Bible is full of the team mentality. Jesus chose 12, worked within a team of men. You know, even that tight-knit inner circle, Peter, James, and John, there were three. It was a team. It was functioning. I mean, you can say the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Even the spirit of Trinity is team and unity. And Genesis 11, this is an amazing chapter if you really think about it. It kind of blows your mind. It says in verse 1, the whole world had one language and one common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shiloh and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Listen to this. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we make a name for ourselves and not be scattered. So this was the reason this was wrong is because it was pride. They wanted to build a name for themselves. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower the men were building. And the Lord said, listen to this. The Lord said, God said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So look at unity. One commitment, one goal, one language. Nothing will be impossible for them. What did Jesus say if two agree on earth? And you know, how many of you know agreeing on earth is not just let's pray a prayer of agreement, we grab hands and we pray a prayer of agreement. It's a spirit of togetherness. As we work out whatever it is God's called us to do, we work it out in a spirit of unity. What did Deuteronomy say? One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put. So the strength of two, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says two are better than one.
That's right.
I mean, all throughout the Bible, you see that there's a strength in numbers when those numbers are committed to one thing, one cause, speaking the same language, one heart. So it's just amazing what unity does. Here's the second thing. Number two, being united. This is real simple, but guys, you just got to remember these things. Being united is super powerful. Being united is super, super powerful. You can write this verse down. I see it throughout the Old Testament. Judges 20, verse 11, it says, all the men of Israel got together and united as one man against the city. In other words, they all came out, and there was such a strength of unity that it looked like really one person, but it was a massive army. They united as one man. How about Psalm 33? Are you guys still tracking with me? We can number one, we accomplish much more when we work together. Number two, being united is super powerful. You know Psalm 33, but let's look at it. Let's be reminded of it. Psalm 33, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Everybody see that? Does it say how good and pleasant it is when brothers attend services together in unity? Doesn't say how good and pleasant it is when we all come to work together in unity, when we live together, when we do life together. It's much different than sort of a half-baked unity. Live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard. So what does the oil represent? The anointing. So there's like three things in this passage. Oil represents anointing. It says it's like oil running down the, poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. And when you look at this, you think about it, it's poured. Where's it poured first? On the head. So that's leadership. That's staff. So where does the unity have to start? It has to start here and flow down the robe of Aaron. You know, everybody tracking it? On his head, down the beard, down through the robe. But if there's no unity here, that anointing's not going to flow all the way down into. It's like the dew of Hermon. Number two is refreshing. So there's anointing, the oil. Number two is the dew. That's refreshing. So when there's unity, there's a refreshing that comes on the lives of the people. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And third thing is life. Life. It's anointing, refreshing, life. Unity is super powerful. It's not just powerful. It is super powerful. Things happen big and fast when people work together. Big and fast when there's a sense of unity and togetherness. You ready for the third one? Maintaining a united environment is hard work. Maintaining a united environment is hard work. So maintaining a united environment is hard work. So, Jesus said this, a house that's divided against itself can't stand. Now, the word stand means to be able to endure. So, you know, we all know that it can endure for a little while, but ultimately, the ultimate test is whether everybody can stay together. Is everybody tracking with me? So if that's true, then what do you think the enemy's going to try to attack more than anything else is your unity. Because if he can bring division, then ultimately it falls. Why does the enemy attack our homes and marriages? Because when there's not unity in the home, the house doesn't. I mean, everything, our whole society built on the foundation of family units. And so if that begins to break down in our kids and the generations and all that. So he goes right after you and your wife, you and your husband, to divide you, bring you off of the same page. So there's division, because ultimately then there's going to be a fall. There's going to be collapse. We were looking at some buildings last year. And we looked at this one building that had been empty. It was beautiful on the outside, and it was in good shape on the inside. But the engineer that walked through it would have said, now the big thing about this building is this. He said, it's sat empty for a year. And I don't know how long it's going to take you guys to negotiate, but if it continues to sit empty, it's going to deteriorate. Here's what he said. Now, this doesn't totally make sense. I guess to an engineer it does. But if a building just sits there, if a house just sits, it begins to deteriorate at a faster rate than if somebody were living in the house. So what that tells me is that maintenance, daily maintenance, keeps things working. But if it's left alone, then the natural flow is going to be toward deterioration. So if your marriage is just left alone, and you say, well, I'm just going to leave it alone, the natural flow is going to be toward deterioration, rather than if you keep your hands on the marriage, working, you know, working things out. So let's take that now, blow it up a little bigger with a staff and church. If we just say, well, I don't like him, I don't like the way he does things, I'm just going to leave it alone. If you take the hands-off approach, it's going to, deterioration is going to happen, not it's going to go away.
That's right.
So you got to stay on it. You got to stay involved. It's hard work. But you've got to maintain unity because it's worth it. It's super powerful. We get more done. But it's hard work. So let me give you some tips, really. Romans 15, you ready? We're going to hit this and we'll be done. Some tips on maintaining unity. Unity is hard work. How do we maintain it? Look at Romans 15, really great chapter. Pull out some things here. Romans 15, verse 2. Are you guys receiving this today? Everybody receiving it today? Sweet. Look at verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Not to please who? Oh, that's different. Look, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart, I love this, and mouth. How many of you know we need to be one heart and one mouth? With one heart and one mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So just some thoughts here as we finish up. How to maintain this united environment. It's hard work, but how do we do it? Maybe give you some tips real quick. Number one, work to please others. Work to please others. Well, I'm not a man pleaser. Well, you need to become one. Because the Bible says you need to work to please your neighbor. Jesus was a man pleaser. He did everything he did to please others, it says. Sometimes we hide behind that, you know. We kind of hide behind, I've heard people say, I just tell things like it is. So does that mean you get to be obnoxious just because you tell things like it is? Does that mean you rub everybody around you raw just because you feel like that's your personality? That's not right. You need to work hard to please the people that maybe are hard to please even. We got to work hard to please others, not ourselves. Number two, make it a goal to build other people up. Make it a goal to build other people up. Number three, be patient with other people. How many of you want patience from other people? Then show a little bit, you know. Give people the room to be themselves. I think this is important on a staff. We all need to work on our peacemaking gift. I think we all need to be peacemakers. What's that, number three? Is that number three? Four? I think, you know, you got to handle offenses the right way. And I think Pastor can correct me if I'm wrong, or he can get up and finish it the right way. But this is what I tell our staff. If you have a problem with somebody, Jesus said, go to that person.
Yes.
Don't come to me.
That's right.
Go to that person. Here's the pattern. If somebody offends you, if she offends you, what's your name? Jennifer? Jennifer doesn't look like she can offend anybody, but just say she offends. So if Jennifer offends me, I don't go to Autumn and say, God, can you believe what Jennifer just said? I mean, you were there, you heard it. That's wrong.
Yes.
I go straight to Jennifer, privately. Jesus said, go to him privately. I go to Jennifer. Jennifer, what you said was wrong. Now, if Jennifer doesn't offer some reconciliation, if we can't fix the problem, then I do need to go to somebody else. But I don't go to somebody who's on the same level as Jennifer. I go to whoever my superior would be and say, I'm really having a struggle with Jennifer. We've got a problem. I can't work it out. I need your help. So whoever my supervisor is, then maybe we can go together, because Jesus said, then go find another and bring them. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you never go sideways when you're trying to correct a problem. You always go up. If you go sideways, then you're calling Autumn in to deal with something that she doesn't have any authority to deal with, unless she has authority over her. Is everybody tracking with me?
Yeah.
How you all deal with offenses as a staff is huge in terms of maintaining your united front. You've got to do it the right way. Otherwise, just little divisions and cracks and things begin to seep into our culture. Self-denial, gosh, that's just a big one. That's another tip. Have faith. Have faith. If there's somebody in the environment that you find difficult to work with, just have faith that God can change your heart, that God can change them. Don't just go into a doubt and negativity that this is never going to work out and they're never going to change and I'm always going to be. Just release some faith that God can work this out and God can give you a love for that person. And then, this one's a huge one. Just an ability to say, I was wrong. How many of you are old enough to remember Happy Days? Man, we used to watch Happy Days all the time. The Fonz. What could the Fonz never say? I was... He could never say I was wrong, and he could never say I'm... So they always let him off the hook. They always said it for him. He was too big. He was the man, couldn't say I'm sorry. Listen, I've learned really good, even in staff settings, to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I forgot to communicate that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And I told our staff, if I can say I'm sorry, you can say you're sorry. If I can say I'm sorry to people, you can say you're sorry to people. And if you can't, you're not going to stay. Because we're all going to make mistakes. We're all human. We're doing life together. And the way we correct our mistakes is a little humility, a little apology. People, it's much more, keeps grace flowing in our relationship. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Hope this is not too. And, and just be, here's the last one, little tip. Just be disciplined with your mouth. Gosh, there's so much in the Bible about the mouth, isn't there? The tongue can bless others and start a fire, forest fire. Just some great verses in the book of James. One thing I just read, I was just reading it this morning, 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they generate strife. And what generates strife more than anything else is not being disciplined with the words that we use. So, we can accomplish much more when we work together. Being united is super powerful. Maintaining a united environment is hard work. The great thing is I can talk about this. I don't know anything that's going on. So it's not like, wow, man, God, Pastor Stovall must have. No, I don't know anything. Just talking about maintaining unity. And then the final tip right here, a united environment is worth the effort. Number four, a united environment is worth the effort, worth the hard work. Being together, unified with my wife, being on the same page, it's worth staying up. Sometimes I'm in late into the night talking things through. It's worth it. 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 A marriage is worth it. A great staff environment is worth it. Fight for the unity of the staff. I sense it. It's here. You guys have a special togetherness. So there's not like I sense any. It's just it's a maintenance thing. It's changing the light bulbs. It's doing the things that keep the building from deteriorating. So come on, let's build it together, all right? Can we do that? Awesome.